Turning your Bibles this afternoon to the book of Ephesians and chapter 4. I mentioned at the meal this afternoon that it was good to be appreciated. But I want you all to know that I appreciate you. Appreciate each and every one of you. Appreciate folks who love the Lord, love the truth of His Word, and desire to stand for that truth. And that involves preaching it, involves receiving it, involves obedience to it. So, as we look at this portion of Scripture, of course, we've been talking about walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. And He gave us instruction how to do that. Some positives right from the start. And then it came to verse 17, and He told us that we walk not henceforth as the Gentiles, other Gentiles, the unsaved. He was referring to those Gentiles who have not received the truth of God's Word and are not saved. Walk. Their walk is a godless walk. And it's always been a godless walk. But I believe that in the history of this country, we've never seen it propagated as we do today. Even wickedness abounds. I'm reading headlines and articles and understand I don't know Judge Amy Coney Barrett from anyone else on the street other than what she says. And she professes to be a Christian. At least she has some good faith. We would say faith-based morals about her, and she tries to live and to practice those morals, and even in her philosophy of judging. And I've been reading headlines and articles that to the effect that she's Christian. We don't want her. There's no way that she can be objective. In other words, her views are going to be biased. Biased by her religion, biased by her Christianity. And I point that out and say that to say this. That's what the world looks at you and I at. You know, we're bigots. We're not objective. They look at us as being subjective. But I'm an objective. I try to be objective as far as the Word of God is based. Try to use the principles and practices of the Word of God. And that's what Paul is, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is trying to get across to the Ephesian church and to us today. That our walk ought not to be after the walk of the world.
if we're truly Christian, our walk ought to be different.
And so the world will say, well, you're a Christian, there's no way you can be unbiased in your opinions. Because we're not willing to go to the extent of liberality that they go to. You see,
but we see even that being eroded in our Christian faith today. Even among those who truly are Christians. Give you an example. Christians today and the Lord's church today, they are doing and they are allowing things that 50 years ago they didn't do and they didn't allow.
We've come so far. And you could probably go back 50 years from that, and what we were doing 50 years ago weren't allowed 50 years before that. Because we all, even Christians, walking in this flesh, we have a desire for the things of the world. So that the world has its standard here. And it's a liberal standard. And so we have our standard right here. But as the world lowers the standard, we go with them. So we're maintaining one step ahead of what the world was, but you see what happens? We're down here now, lower than what the world was 50 years prior when we were up here. Isn't that what Scripture here in the book of Ephesians in chapter 4 is trying to warn us against? Doing?
Taking a stand? Not being as we once were, not being as the world is, but being entirely separate, being entirely different
than what the world is?
And we manifest that by not being liars. And let me tell you, on the subject of lying, I know we were done with that a couple weeks ago, but let me tell you something on the subject of lying. Everybody's doing it. And they're all doing it. And so, you come and tell them something, and they look at you like you're lying. When you're telling the truth. Because everybody's a liar.
But that doesn't matter. We're still supposed to speak the truth. There is one. There is one that knows whether you're lying or whether you're speaking the truth. You see, the world might not know it because everybody's doing it. But God knows. He knows. And so we're to speak the truth.
We're to get angry at sin, but not do as the world does when they get angry. And they sin when they get angry. They do that which is forbidden. They do that which they hadn't ought to do when they get angry. And boy, this summer we have seen it in the streets of America. There has been an anger that has been boiling. It was never put to rest. And it boiled over this summer. It's still boiling over. We just are not hearing it so much right now because of the election coming up, because the president contracted COVID. And so that has gathered the news headlines. But if you dig, there's been an unrest in cities across America ever since it began a couple months ago. Amen. So, we're to get angry at sin, but not under sin. And so that we don't put it to sin. We're to put it to rest. In other words, we're not to let it tarry with us. If we haven't gotten rid of it at bedtime, get rid of it then. In other words, the thought there would be, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Don't steal. Don't steal. If that was your previous manner of life, don't do it now as a child of God. That's what we've been dealing with the last couple of weeks. Stealing as a trait of the unsaved. That ought not to be named among the saved. And yes, if you were a thief in times past, when at the day of salvation, you were transformed, you were changed. You should now be trusting God, trusting Him for the provisions of life. And He doesn't lead you to steal. He leads you to trust Him for all things. So, we were to steal no more. And then he says, but rather, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is done is good.
I said done because I was thinking about a saying that had in the workforce, and I was probably guilty of saying it. You know what work is, don't you? It's a dirty four-letter word. That's the saying amongst the labor force, the workforce. It was a dirty word.
I remember concerning work, I can remember, mid-30s to early 40s, you know, looking to the day of retirement, when retire from working and all I do is go fishing and hunting. What more was there to do? Go fishing and hunting and sat and watch the sports on TV. And then got to be about 50. You know, I loved working. And I realized that it probably helped that I had a job I loved. Amen. You know, and that helps. But I loved working. And I used to think, you know, well, you can only do so much hunting and fishing. What are you going to do when you aren't hunting and fishing? You know, work. You know, it was good. Then I went to work at Walmart. Well, that's not where my heart was. My heart was pastoring, studying the Word of God, and pastoring, feeding the people.
And I had a struggle with that. Because in my mind, I didn't want to be there. But the Lord showed me this is how I'm providing for you now. And this is part of your work as a minister, which we're going to study today. And it's for everybody. Working is for everybody. I'm going to maybe shatter everybody's bubble. But actually, to be biblical, you don't find retirement in the scriptures. You know when retirement comes? When they lay in the grave. You see? So don't we have a cushy in our country, in our society today? We get to say, well, you're 66 now. You can retire with full benefits, which is not enough to live on, by the way, if that's all you have. I mean, you can live. You can't live according to the world standards, but we're not to live according to the world standards. And my wife and I found out that you can live on a lot less than what at one time you thought you could live on. You see? But we enjoy the niceties of life, we call them, and the comforts. And we have... I actually can say I own 4 desktop computers. I own 3 laptops computers. I mean, one is pretty antiquated and pretty slow. You know, but it works. We both have smartphones. You know, those are niceties of life. And it's all under that much less than we thought we could live with. So, and isn't the Lord good? The Lord is good in providing for us. But you see, that those things didn't come by our life of thievery, our life of stealing. They came by from a life of working and predominantly a life of trusting God and trying to serve Him. And all I can say on that note is when a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with Him. You want the blessings of the Lord? You see to it that your way, your path, pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of those ways is through working. Working, laboring. Working with his hands. The thing which is good. Let him... The proper rendition of this would be, in paraphrase, would be, let him be wearied, toiling, the labor carries with it the thought of being wearied. Toiling is the working with his hands, the thing which is of benefit. It's good. It's good for a man, a woman, to work with her hands. The Christian is. All men are too. But especially the Christian. This is under Christian principles. You see, the vice is stealing.
That's the vice. But you're not to do that anymore as a Christian, as a child of God. You're to labor with your hands, working with your hands. That's the good thing. There. So the Christian is to labor. Turn with me back to the book of Genesis. We're going to go back to the first man and woman. In Genesis chapter 2. See, God created Adam and Eve, created Adam. There was no Eve until Adam named her Eve. It was just Adam. Synonymous for the both. Until Adam named her Eve. But God created them. And he prepared a garden. And he set them in the midst of that garden. This was a special place in all of his creation that he set them. Well, we say, tend to think, well, Adam had it good then, didn't he? Had it easy back then. You know, sin hadn't entered the world. Praise God. No weeds. What's that say about those things that were growing in that garden that today, maybe because they're in our garden, we consider them a weed? Not the thorns and thistles. They're specifically mentioned in the third chapter. That was a curse. That was the curse it brought. Look with me at verse 15. And the Lord God took a man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Oh, so even in the garden, there was work to do. There was a labor to do. He was to dress it. He was to make it, keep it looking beautiful. My philosophy, my theological, based on my studies of the Scripture, this was a joyous time for Adam. I mean, it wasn't a burden at all. Yeah, it was just something, you know, he's got a good relationship with God, and he just pleasing God, and he's appreciative of this creation that God has created and set him in the midst, and set him specially in the Garden of Eden. And he's just going about. I can hear him whistling and singing, and you know, just having sweet fellowship with the Lord. His point is, He had to work then. Turn with me to chapter 3. And sin entered. Well, he still had to work. Didn't he? Sure he did. But now his work became a labor. It became wearisome. It became troublesome. It was by the sweat of his brow. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. Notice that. Well, that kind of does away with retirement there too, doesn't it? Till thou return to the ground. In other words, you're going to labor until you are put in the ground. He said, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Your body, Adam, your body, Ron, your body, Seth, your body, Mike, is going to return to dust. That was because sin entered it.
Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. So we find Adam labored in the garden, but then sin entered, and then his work became wearisome, toilsome. The book of Proverbs. In chapter 13, in verse 11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Wealth gotten by unjust means.
Stealing. Embezzlement, which is stealing. Fraud. An unjust scales. What happened to the dozen that consisted of 13? Well, that's kind of fallen by the wayside, hasn't it?
Once in a while, I think one of the bakeries, Publix or Walmart, one tried to revive that with giving you a 13-count dozen in their donuts or something, or some kind of pastry or something in their bakery. But by and large, that has fallen by the wayside. Not that generosity anymore. If they give you 13 to a dozen, they want to charge you for it. They don't want to charge you the price of a dozen and then add the 13th one free. You see? But you get the gist of this verse. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. It's gonna catch up. It's going to catch up and be taken away. But he that gathereth by labor, just means. Labor signifies working with his hands. Now he's going to be blessed, isn't he? Shall increase. Turn with me to the 14th chapter. The 14th chapter in verse 23. He says, in all labor, there's profit. In all labor. It doesn't matter what your occupation is. If it's a just occupation, it increases. It's for your good, for your benefit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. You know what penury is? Poverty. Poverty. Well, we're going to deal with that a little bit when we get in the New Testament. We're going to find out why it tends to poverty. The talk of it, but we can imagine now. That is somebody who doesn't want to work, and all they want to do is set to home and
be a busybody. In other words, just gabbing about this and gabbing about that and sticking their nose in to where it doesn't belong and
what have you. Boy, we have a lot of them today, even in the workforce. I don't want to go off on that subject, but the thought just runs through my mind. And I suppose since I began to share a little bit of it with you, I need to continue my thought. Seeing we're talking about the Word of God. And I understand the family dynamics. But I understand the manufacturing dynamics too. And having been in a manufacturing shop where there were no women except in the office, and then one woman applied for a job and wasn't given the job and she filed a discrimination suit, well, she could do any job out there. She could. And when women came into the manufacturing plant there, the whole dynamics of the workforce changed. The whole dynamics. And I'm not going to go into all the ways in which it changed. You can, if we're all adults here, we can imagine how it changed. And we all, you women know women, and you men know women. And we know men. So that answers everything about it. He that doesn't,
labor as a Christian, and particularly as a member of the Lord's church, he that doesn't labor, doesn't work, is walking disorderly.
You know what it means to walk disorderly? It means to walk not as Paul is outlining and describing for us here in the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. It means to walk out of rank. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians in chapter 3. And verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, Church of Thessalonica, he's commanding us today, the Grace Baptist Church. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. Walketh out of step. Not as Paul has set forth, which is noted by the tradition. Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition, the prescribed means laid out by the Apostle Paul to his instruction to the Thessalonican church, which you received of us. For yourselves know how that ye ought to follow us, follow me, Paul, and those in my company. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. We didn't walk in a disorderly fashion. We didn't walk out of rank among you. Now it's going to become real clear what he's talking about here. Neither did we eat any man's bread,
for naught.
In other words, without labor. In vain. Without labor.
But wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Paul said, we were setting an example to you all that a man ought to work, to eat. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example. See, there it is. He said, we wanted to be an example to you. You ought to work. To eat. For you to follow. We were trying to be an example for you to follow after us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. If he would not work, he shouldn't eat.
Just think, if Paul had come into them and he sat back and he's just raking in from them and not willing to work himself, and then he tells them, if any of you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Well, it seems to me like you're not working.
He wouldn't have been a very good example, would he?
For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. There's some that are walking among you out of rank. Working not at all, but are busybodies.
They're talkers. And I've known some, and they didn't work. And he had every excuse under the sun why he couldn't work. And boy, he just hated President Reagan when he got in office. Why, he was taking some of his money away from him. You know, the free handouts.
Now then, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Now, there's always exemptions. There's those that can't work. And he wasn't talking about them. But he was talking about the able-bodied people that were not working, and they were just sitting around talking and busying themselves with other men's matters and not working and just expecting somebody else to feed them. My goodness. It's to work with his hands. Hands is symbolic of work. Hands is symbolic of getting something done. And quite often you take notice of it if it talks about the hand of the Lord. It's talking about something that the Lord is doing. Scriptures. So it ought to be with our hands. Look at the book of Acts. And here we're going to look at Paul's, what he says here in the book of Acts. And this is not to the Thessalonians, but in
verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft as Paul and some in his company, he abode with them, Paul and his company that came to Corinth, and wrought. That is, he worked. They worked. Aquila and Priscilla joined themselves to Paul's company, and they worked. And it seems as though they joined themselves to Paul's company because they were of the same craft. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. So if Aquila and Priscilla are tent makers, and their occupation is the same as that of Paul's, what was Paul? Paul was a tent maker. So he worked with his hands making tents. You see, chapter 20, in verse 34, we have more on this. It says, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands, here he's talking to the Ephesian elders, these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. So in other words, Paul didn't just only by the work of his hands and making tents provide for himself, but he provided for others that were in his company, that were with him in his company. You see, and I'm sure that he used them in task in the process of their tent making, you see. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And look with me at verse 12. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. He says earlier in that chapter, he says to the Corinthians, he says, who made you to differ? Who hath made me to differ from you? Who hath made you to differ from me? And Paul lived that principle in his life. He didn't consider himself above any man. He didn't consider work beneath him. If it was necessary for him to work, he worked. And so I've tried to do that. As in my pastoring, when it was necessary for me to work, I worked. I'm glad the Lord provided for me to be able to get out of that work when he did, because it was really taking a toll on my physical body. Then, not that the work was so ravaging, but just the standing was terrible on the physical frame. You see. One more passage along this thought. Actually, probably be the last for the day. Turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. In verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. He's telling the Thessalonians, I've commanded you. I've commanded you to study. In other words, give diligent effort to be quiet, not busybodies. To do your business, your employment in hand, working with your hands, as we commanded, that ye may walk honestly. See, an honest work, an honest employment. Honestly toward them that are without. Oh. There again is that principle of let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify God. You see, even in our work, I guess that going back to having to finally get reconciled and with that was my stage and place of God's providence in my life at that time at Walmart was what I had to come to realize. I'm not working for the God of this world, Walmart. I was working for the Lord. I was working for the Lord, and I was to do it to the best of my ability, and I was to do it with a smile on my face and joy in my heart. You see, that changed my whole countenance. You come to that place. And that ye may have lack of nothing. May want nothing. You understand lack in the Scriptures and want in the Scriptures is not talking about what we desire of the passions of the flesh. It's talking about what we actually need for the sustenance of life. A man that works, a woman that works, will have everything they need. Need. You might not have 4 desktop computers, 3 laptops, 2 smartphones, a smart TV. I forgot that earlier. You might not have all that. You see, when it comes down to it, don't need that. Don't need that. We need food, clothing, and shelter. That's our basic need for life. He said, that thing which is good. He says, laboring with your hands, working with your hands is good. That is, in contrast to stealing. Stealing is no good. Working is good. Being employed at any manufacturer, any trade, any business which is honest, lawful, and of good report. You see, those things are opposed to stealing, which is not to be a part of our life. We're to be, well, I guess it said, gainfully employed. Gainfully employed. All right. Shall we stand?
Be dismissed in a word of prayer.